when Bill wrote the big book, it was not long after that a lot of things happened to AA. And I'll just list them one by one. Well, first of all, Clarence Snyder left and formed the Cleveland group, which was so successful. And then Dr. Bob teamed up with Sister Ignatia at the hospital, and so people began to be hospitalized at St. Thomas Hospital. And it was there that he helped 5,000 drunks to get sober, and Bill called him the Prince of all 12th steppers. The next thing, Bill hooked up with Father Dowling, who doesn't seem to have had much impact on AA until 1955, but he became Bill's, quote, spiritual sponsor. But then Bill went into a deep depression, and he stayed that way until 1955. And during that time, in one sense, AA lacked leadership from New York. And so there was an old Oxford group guy named Richmond Walker, and he wrote a couple of books. One of them was for drunks only, and the other became to be known as the 24-hour book. That's probably sold, I won't say as many copies as the big book, but it sure wasn't the big book. And then Father Ralph Fowle started doing what he called the John Doe books. And when you go to the Midwest, you see the golden books all over. And it's his teaching. He even had a radio program. And then Ed Webster wrote something called The Little Red Book, which Hazleton is still publishing. And so bit by bit, there were many people moving into the AA scene. And about that time, Dr. Bob commissioned something that I hadn't seen until I finally started researching in Akron. They're called the AA of Akron pamphlets. And they cost about 15 cents each, and there are four of them. And you can pick up the phone and call the central office, intergroup office in Akron, and say, can I have a copy? I think it's the original program, practically, in 1948 that Dr. Bob wanted people to get familiar with. He said, I need a blue-collar, some blue-collar books so that people can understand them. And if you read them, it'll just amaze you how often it talks about the Book of James, the Sermon on the Mount, 1 Corinthians 13, the Ten Commandments, and all the stuff that we're told we can't talk about in AA, except that they did. It's very important, in my judgment, that we not turn our back on AA. If we have any mission, it's to report what AA really is and became and can be used effectively for today. And the only way one is going to get away from all this junk about we're spiritual but not religious and my higher power, every Friday night we used to go to the beginners meeting in Larkspur, California, and I would say, my higher power is Ralph. Well, if you were as sick as I was, pretty soon you're, you know, looking for Ralph. And I was wetting my pants at every meeting, so nobody even wanted to show me where Ralph was. And, you know, I did a step study at Ross Hospital. A guy said, Dick, your higher power can be a rock. And I said, you're not that crazy, I don't think. So I came to the Larkspur meeting where they bust the patients down, and there was an empty seat, and I said, may I sit here? And he says, no, I'm saving that for God. I don't believe in the rock anymore. My contention always has been AAs may be sick, but they're not stupid. And you hear this stuff, and if you don't know what changes were made and how you can still stand solid on the big book and on the principles of early AA, and you don't have to snub the 12 steps, it's there for the reading, but it's got to be interpreted by people who are not making up baloney. This business of higher powers and rainbows and Big Dippers. Clarence Snyder wrote a book called My Higher Power, the Light Bulb, and it's very powerful. He's made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of a light bulb, and then admitted to myself, to a light bulb, and to another human being. And yeah, yeah. And we need to know that stuff. Okay.
He did write such a pamphlet, but he was joking, not advocating.
Okay. Bill smelled money because in November of 1937, he came to Akron. The Akron program was led by Dr. Bob, primarily by Dr. Bob. Not much effective was going on in New York. Bill came back to Akron in November of 1937 and sat with Bob and his wife Ann, and they did what they call counted noses. And that's why that sheet that I showed you with Dr. Bob's handwriting is so significant, because they knew who they were talking about. And when they counted noses, they found 40 people, last gasp, medically incurable people, that had made it. Some of them for one day, several of them for 2 years, but there was a 75% success rate. 50% had never had a drink. 25% had relapsed and come back. And we know their names. And so it was that that caught Bill's attention. He had become inspired as he left Towns Hospital after his white flash experience that he was commissioned by God to save all the drunks in the world. And that's not a joke thing. It's something that he really felt. I've had this experience with the God of the Scriptures. I don't drink anymore. I'm a different man. The doctor said he was different. Wife said he was different. And so he was going to change the world. And the only person he changed initially was Bob. But 2 years later, they counted noses and found this success rate. They literally thanked God that he had shown them how to carry the message to alcoholics throughout the world. So Bill wanted a book. He also wanted missionaries and hospitals. And believe it or not, by 18 people voting and a two-vote majority, which the majority being Bill and Bob, I guess, it passed. So they authorized hospitals and a big book and missionaries. And Bill went back to John D. Rockefeller in New York and started asking for money. Well, Rockefeller was a wise old dude, and so he sent his representative, Frank Amos, out to Akron. Amos later became a trustee of the Alcoholic Foundation. And Amos rendered the report, which we've read to you twice now. And that is, this is a 7-point program. And it's miraculous. He said, this is just like first century Christianity. And another of the Rockefeller men took a look at it, just like first century Christianity. So the thing was that they heard the Amos report, and they decided this thing is really going someplace. Now what happened was that Bill, at that point, had distanced himself from the Akron program, and he evolved what he called the six steps. Now there weren't any six steps, but they were six word-of-mouth ideas, and they didn't resemble the Akron program. We've written them up in several different places. It was from those six ideas that Bill said he expanded the steps to 12. What really happened is that he sat down with Sam Shoemaker, went over the Oxford Group principles, the life-changing principles, and there are 28 of them, but they include the four absolutes. They include surrender. They include elimination of sin. They have a little formula. Sin is the problem. Jesus Christ is the cure. And the result is a miracle. Now, we have no idea what Bill put together. We're still working on it. And we don't have all the facts on the manuscripts. We also know that when Bill finally decided to put this book in multilith form and circulated, the manuscript came back with a good many changes on it. There was a group of four people, but by this time they were getting close to printing a big book. They had this manuscript. Now there is a manuscript that a friend of ours paid $1 million for it at Sotheby's auction not too long ago.
Wow.
And it shows an endless number of changes, and we haven't seen it. We were asked to write some introductory material, but in that you can see all of the changes that were made in the manuscript. In that manuscript, and or whatever the missing manuscript contained before it, the second step read, came to believe that God could restore us to sanity.
Mm-hmm.
And the third step is said, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care and direction of God.
And the 11th step said, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our contact with God. And that was all changed. They eliminated God, put in power greater than ourselves, put in the word as we understood him in steps 3 and 11. And then Ken is going to read you how Bill described this. This is not speculation. This is what Bill said happened.
If you have eyes to see and especially ears to hear, this may answer many questions that you have. What I'm about to read is from pages 166 and 167 of what Bill Wilson considered to be the most authoritative history of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's called Alcoholics Anonymous Comes of Age. It's still in print, as far as I know, and it's still available from New York. This is an AA General Service Conference approved literature. Quote, just before the manuscript was finished, an event of great significance for our future took place. At that time, it looked like just another battle over the book. The scene was Henry's. That's Henry Hank P. or Hank Parker's office in Newark, where most of the writing had been done. Present were Fitz, it's one of my heroes, John Henry Fitzhugh M., or male, Henry, our grand little secretary Ruth, that's Ruth Hawk, A.A.'s first secretary, and myself. We were still arguing about the 12 steps. All this time, I had refused to budge on these steps. I would not change a word of the original draft in which, you will remember, I had consistently used the word, quote, God, end of quote. And in one place, the expression, quote, on our knees, end of quote, was used. Praying to God on one's knees was still a big affront to Henry. He argued, he begged, he threatened. He quoted Jimmy, that's Jimmy B., Jimmy Burwell, to back him up. He was positive we would scare off alcoholics by the thousands when they read those 12 steps. Little by little, both Fitz and Ruth came to see merit in his contentions. Though at first, I would have none of it, we finally began to talk about the possibility of compromise. Though, who first suggested the actual compromise words? I do not know.
But they are words well known throughout the length and breadth of AA today. In step 2, we decided to describe God as a, quote, power greater than ourselves, end of quote. In steps 3 and 11, we inserted the words, quote, God as we understood him, end of quote. From step 7, we deleted the expression, quote, on our knees, end of quote. Such were the final concessions to those of little or no faith. This was the great contribution of our atheists and agnostics. They had widened our gateway so that all who suffer might pass through, regardless of their belief or God was certainly there in our steps. But he was now expressed in terms that anybody at all, could accept and try, end of quote.
AA today is not a Christian fellowship. A few people will write me letters and say, Dick, you're trying to Christianize AA. Not a chance. It ain't going to happen. The compromise that Ken just read you has changed the tenor. And Bill Wilson's wife said it was agreed we needed a universal program since not all drunks were Christian. And so a very definite change occurred, not when the original program that you heard was followed, not when the 6 steps were followed, not when the 12 steps were written, but when these 5 people sat down and decided to change it, and Bill was saying, hurrah, this is a 10 strike. And so AA became a different organization. And as I said, Bill then went into a serious depression, and a lot of people had a crack at it. Finally, he hired two priests to edit the 12 and 12 for him, and so we had still further changes. AA, in other words, has changed. I came into the changed AA in 1986, and I loved it, and I needed it, and I found it very useful, but I also began to wake up. What's going on here? How come they talk about creator, maker, faith without works is dead, love thy neighbor as thyself, use the word God 400 times in the big book, and people are talking about Ralph and rocks and light bulbs? It didn't cause me to leave. I just went up to the big book seminar and thought, you got to learn more about this program, and I did. I finally read the Bible one time through. I'm not making up with Dr. Bob yet with the three, but I felt I need to learn more. The thesis I'd like to leave you with is simply this. Yes, AA has changed. Why deny what they did in 1935 and the astonishing success they had, and that it was a Christian fellowship, the Akron Group? What do you do if you're a Christian sitting in a meeting, and it happens all the time, and somebody says, well, I read the Bible this morning. I said that when I was about 35 days sober. I said, I read the Bible last night, and I really found peace. And this old gal sitting in the corner said, I resent anybody that mentions the Bible. I hated that when I was in church, and I hate it here. I never went back to the meeting until 1 month later. And I walked in the door, and as I walked in the door, she said, there's that dick. I resent the Bible. When you're sick and wetting your pants, you'll either wet them more. I did not know how to handle myself. Now, what can you do? To me, history is the answer. Well, here are some suggestions. First, you stand on the language of AAA's General Service Conference-approved literature. We've read to you that Dr. Bob says your Heavenly Father will never let you down. Bill says the Lord has cured me. What you're able to do if you familiarize yourself with our own literature is read it to somebody. Let them argue with the literature, not with you. Secondly, by emphasizing the freedom that groups and individuals have to believe what the 12 traditions promise. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. And yet, there are letters coming out on AA official stationery saying, you can't do this. We don't. AA is spiritual but not religious. And who are they? At the beginning, I was a secretary of a meeting. Some guy came in and was standing in the back, and he looked just like David, very authoritative. And I thought, who is this guy? So finally, I called him. I said, did you have something to say? And he said, yes, I'm the DCM. And I said, well, glad to meet you, and went on with the meeting. It didn't matter to me. By forming history groups that study the original AA Christian Fellowship program, its roots, its sources, its development, and how the first three AAs got sober, and what the early AAs did with the book of James and Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, 1 Corinthians 13, as Dr. Bob explicitly stated, were absolutely essential to the program. Those were his words. They're in AA's Conference of Root Literature. By speaking at meetings and groups and conferences in terms of page 29 of the big book, which says each person in the personal stories from his own in his own language and from his own point of view tells how he established his relationship with God. By forming a new group that does what the early AAs did and leaving groups where group conscience forbids the reading of the Bible, praying, mentioning God, Jesus Christ in the Bible. You don't have to condemn a group, but if you are subjected to intimidation, get a coffee pot and take your resentment and set up a new meeting. And remember, the interesting thing is that Bill never divested himself of really what were his convictions. And that's why we've been intrigued by getting back to what the founders really did in their youth and what they really believed. And if you know your 11th step language, when you get down to the part about devotions, Bill says, and if we have devotions, we attend to those. And he said, there are many helpful books. Suggestions for them may be obtained from your rabbi, minister, or priest. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they have to offer. How many times, when somebody is repudiated, do they merely quote that and say, I've been talking to my priest and he told me to say that today? By stressing spiritual growth. AAs talk a lot about spiritual growth, and the 10th and 11th steps certainly do. But the spiritual growth, which encompasses the quiet time, prayer, asking God's guidance, studying the Bible, perhaps attending a church of choice, and a focus on obeying God's will by eliminating the sinful conduct and walking in love and by the Spirit. Everybody in this room has a choice, whether they're in AA or not, whether they're in a church or not. And that is, they can walk by the Spirit, or they can walk in the flesh, and they can walk with God and in fellowship with Him. They can take a look at 1 John and see what it has to say about that. Finally, by pointing to the big book language that speaks directly to the need for the one with all power. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, and powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is who?
God.
May you find him when?
God.